Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, joins us on 365 Sports. Mac Rhodes, Baylor Director of Athletics, just around the corner. And Jay Billis is up next to start the 4 o'clock hour. Dan, thank you very much. And just pick a day, any day. Glad we have you on today or any day. But Clemson sues the ACC, and the merry-go-round continues.
Yeah, not good if you were hoping for some calm in the calm season college athletics. We now have the ACC with its two most prominent programs. North Carolina might get angry at that, or Duke or something, but certainly football-wise, trying actively to get out through litigation. I don't know whether this will work or not. I read the complaint. It's who knows? I mean, I can't really handicap it, but they want out of the grant of rights. They want to have the ability. Basically, they want a court to say that if they get out of the ACC, if they leave the ACC, they get their television rights back, and that would obviously open up the possibility that another league would offer them a spot. So any destabilization for the ACC is not, I don't think, a good thing for the overall health of college athletics. I understand this is business. I understand there's a lot of money at stake. I understand the interest of certain fan bases and schools to do what they want. My own selfish interests are, I liked it when there was a Pac-12. I liked it when, you know, there were different leagues. So I like the old Big East football. I like more leagues. So I'm not really enthused about it, but it is a very, very dramatic and very interesting thing to watch.
Dan, is this not surprising given the fact that last week and now today it's become official, we found out that there's no way for schools in the ACC to make up the money gap between the Big Ten and SEC? And if you're Florida State and Clemson, that's all you care about, really. I mean, not that they don't care about their other sports, but football is what drives them. And now they have to find a way to make the revenue that they want. And the only way to do that, in their minds, and really now in reality, is to get out.
Yeah, at least playoff-wise. And certainly, you know, the SEC and Big Ten are going to have bigger television deals than the ACC or the Big 12 are. But when they agreed to this revenue-sharing deal for the playoff, you know, in the past, and the way the NCAA basketball tournament works right now is everybody who gets in, you get a bid, you get in, and you get a share of the revenue. And every time you win, you get another share of the revenue. And you then, you know, you send it to your conference, and the conference divvies it up. So you could be the West Coast Conference, and you have Gonzaga, and they win 5 games, you get 5 shares. And it's earned on the, you may only have one team in. You could have five teams in, they could all lose in the first round. You only get five bids, five shares. But it's earned. It's earned through competition, and it's a way to, you know, everyone is equal in that manner, and you have a chance to make more, but that's how it is. I would expect in this playoff, the SEC and Big Ten are going to do really, really well and will likely earn the majority of the money. But when you put it in writing that the SEC and Big Ten are automatically guaranteed the majority of the money, and no matter how many games Clemson and Florida State win, they're not getting as much money as the SEC and the Big Ten, it kind of codifies the division. And it's quite meaningful, and I think it's jarring and concerning because you're sitting there going, we don't stand a chance here of getting that money back. Now, is money everything? Is there ways to get around it? I think there are, but one of those is certainly, hey, what if we could just get into the Big Ten? What are we doing with the ACC right now? So I thought the move by the Big Ten and the SEC to declare their revenue dominance and put it in writing and guarantee it was really not very congenial. Maybe it's good business, maybe not. I just think it wasn't necessary because I think you're going to earn it anyway.
Were you surprised or not that the ACC and the Big 12, when they floated out the revenue type of, I guess, the climate or the landscape or the map, that it looked like maybe there was at least a little bit of, okay, we kind of get that, but there's got to be some give and take. And there was no give and take, that the ACC and the Big 12 are getting much less, as you said, on top of the amount of bids or how many people are going to make. I just thought that maybe the ACC and the Big 12 might say, wait just a damn minute here. But I guess they don't have that leverage.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, I think they tried. They certainly voiced a lot of objections. I know that. But they have not all banded together. I mean, you know, there's all this bit, well, the SEC and Big 10 can just go do their own thing. You know. Yes, they can, but there's a lot of damage to that. There's a lot of fans who will be quite opposed to such a thing. And there's a lot of political blowback you're going to get because, I mean, as you know, if you represent Waco in the United States, let alone the state house, it's important to have Baylor football, right? If you're representing Lubbock, if you're in Kansas, senators of Kansas or whatever state you are, there's a financial impact. And so I think I'm really not sure they could do it, but they're not willing to call that bluff. And so here we are. It's a matter of how do you keep going? I guess what really bothers me is it's like, I understand the finances are tough. I just wish these leagues could stick together. We're better off with a lot of really good teams. And, you know, college football, part of the appeal is the diversity of the teams and the schools all over the place and each little culture and the regionality and the little rivalries and all of that. And the idea that it's just like we're just marching to smaller, you know, smaller and smaller group that has all of the dominance. So I think there are ways for people to survive if your league doesn't have the money, including, you know, student fees or even government spending. I mean, government spend, I'm not a big fan. I'm not advocating this. I'm just pointing it out. I'm kind of not my thing is big government, but they don't blink at giving hundreds of millions or $1 billion to a billionaire to build a stadium, right? Because it's good economic impact. Well, what's the economic impact in these college towns of these major football programs if all of a sudden they aren't major football programs anymore? Like that's a huge, you know, so if you can bridge that gap with $10 or $20 million a year, $30 million a year, that would seem to be something, you know, something creative could be done. But if these leagues aren't even going to exist, it's hard to argue how you even dig out of this. So I just feel like there's damage being done here that you're not going to be able to just repair or fix. And that's why it's so concerning.
Dan, Greg Sankey has been very public about his support for expanding the tournament, as have other commissioners like Brett Yormark. Greg Sankey believes that the tournament should be expanded to include more teams from his particular conference and of the power leagues. But aren't they messing with something that's already really good that everybody really likes? And I don't think anybody wants to see, you know, an Oklahoma team that wasn't good enough to get in the field of 68 be in a field of 76 when teams like Indiana State and St. John's are out there that had more legitimate claims to it than they did.
Yeah, and even, you know, Indiana State, they got a claim. It's hard for the Indiana States because they're in these leagues that, you know, you can't rack up the metrics, right, the analytics. St. John's, yeah, they had nice analytics. They also went 2-8 in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Like, at a 10-game stretch, like, cry me a river, but, you know, go 4-6 and you're probably in the thing. Who the hell wants more teams? Like, nobody. Like, this thing is nearly perfect. I'm not even sure anyone wants tonight's games or Wednesday night's games. Like, we might want four fewer teams, but nobody's asking for more teams, and nobody wants it. It's the system. It's a great event, and it's a great event for two reasons. One is it's inclusive, in which the team from the Southland and the Sun Belt and the Mid-American and the Metro Atlantic and, you know, Wagner is in this. Like, St. Peter's is back, right? And it's a huge deal. Duquesne is in the tournament first time in 47 years. Like, that's the party for them. They just made it first time in 47 years. And you see these watch parties, and a school like St. Peter's is back. And you know, we want to include those schools because St. Peter's beat Kentucky and Purdue a couple years ago, went all the way to Elite Eight. You don't know in basketball, right? So it's great because we get all these schools from all over the place. Abilene Christian, right? School that, how does America know about Abilene Christian? Well, there they were, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't even, they don't know, most of America doesn't know there's an Abilene or a school there. So it's these great moments, but it's also exclusive. It's not so easy to get in. You got to do something. You can't go 2-8 in the middle of the season and just cruise into this event because we got 80 bids, and the thing goes on longer. So I hate to be like all negative on everything that's coming up, but it's like, who is asking for this? Other than coaches and athletic directors of certain schools that didn't get a bonus because they didn't make the NCAA basketball. Like, I just don't know anybody that's I get some Oklahoma fans or whatever, but can you really look in the mirror and be like, we were a great team this year, we deserved it? Or is anyone else going to sit around and go, boy, I wish we had more 16 and 12 teams from major conferences in this thing? Like, no, you're going to watch on Thursday and Friday and love it for what it is. And so when you hear these commissioners, you know, talking about that, it troubles. I'm like, I'm not sure you really appreciate what makes this event so great.
Dan, speaking of that, I think by the time they tip off this evening, all the others are, well, how come we're not in it? That just dissolves. They are eliminated and probably evaporated, and the conversation becomes the greatness of what the early rounds or first week of the tournament is all about. Do you think that Greg Sankey, when he says he cares about the ecosystem of college athletics, that he actually does?
You know, I have for a long time. I really have been a believer in Greg Sankey. He's spent his entire career in college athletics. He's a policy guy. He sits on all the committees. He does more than he should. But, you know, as of late, a lot of these decisions or the things he talks about kind of go against that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a little more wary of people who come in from outside of college athletics, and you say, well, do you really care what this is going to look like in 10 years? Or are you trying to say, hey, I did this, this, and this, and now I'm leaving because I want to be a professional commissioner, or I want to run an actual team or something like that. I'm not saying any of his decisions were wrong or motivated by anything else, but we had a Big Ten commissioner in Kevin Warren who came in, was a complete disruptor for like 3 years and then left to run the Chicago Bears. Does he care what is left behind? A lot of us sit around and go, well, this is my thing. I love me personally. I know you guys too. We love college athletics. Like, this is what we love for the rest of our lives, or this is what we want to be fans of. Like, what are you leaving behind? Like, great, you made somebody more money, but was it worth it? We make these short-term decisions on money. I go back to when the Big Ten added Rutgers and Maryland because they wanted more homes with basic cable that they could put the Big Ten network on and could charge an extra like $1.25 per house in New Jersey and Maryland. Well, we're already at the point where people are cutting the cord, and that isn't even worth like that. Like that isn't that big deal. Like, so we blew up the Big East and rattled the ACC. So the Big Ten could make like 10 years of basic cable. Like imagine 10 years from now, we may not be able to explain what basic cable was. Right. But I'm still going to want to watch football. Like I still care about college athletics. And I'm like, well, great. I'm glad you guys made a buck, an extra buck off everybody in New Jersey for like 6 years. I don't really care. Like, that's not how I want decisions made. I don't know that there's anybody looking out for the long-term health of all of this stuff, you know, and it's hard because so much is happening so fast. And then at the same time, these guys, they will scream and hold congressional hearings and cry and whine about NIL. And I get it. It's different, but NIL didn't kill the Pac-12. Like NIL isn't suing to get out of the ACC. It's just like, you got to figure out how to pay the players a little bit. It's not, that's not nearly as disruptive as realignment or setting up a playoff system where one league is making more than the other, or saying, hey, let's have an 84 team conference NCAA basketball tournament because we'll make a little more. All our guys will get in. You go, wait. This is a national treasure. We don't screw with that. Like all these guys in this tournament this weekend are all getting some money. It's going to be awesome. Like no one's going to sit there. You're still going to watch and be like, that's a great basketball game, or that was exciting. So it's like they're pointing at one thing and then they're really causing the trouble over here.
Yeah. Like let's say whoever wins, let's say Colgate upsets Baylor. Not one time am I going to say, oh, they just earned another couple of $1 million units. I'm going to be celebrating no matter who it is, any Cinderella. Jay Billis brought this up in an interview I recorded earlier today about the transfer portal, where teams, programs, schools are like, oh, my God, this is too much. What are Clemson and Florida State trying to do?
Transfer.
Yes. Oregon, yeah. Washington, UCLA, USC, Texas, Oklahoma, they all entered the transfer portal. It's kind of funny when he brought that up to me earlier today.
Yeah, they put a whole athletic department in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Your UCLA softball team is heading to Rutgers to play games. And think about how they hit the transfer portal. They were talking, so they're in the Pac-12, and they're talking with the Big Ten, tampering. And the Big Ten is offering a better financial package, NIL. And in the middle of the night, they move 700 athletes, transfer. Yeah. And I'm supposed to care that, like, some kid who's going to be like, I saw this today. Oakland University's in this. They're playing Kentucky. They got a really good player, this kid, Trey Townsend. And Oakland's coach, this kid had like 38 points and like 20 something rebounds in the horizon. Like, this is a big time player, potential pro. He's at Oakland. And the Oakland coach, Greg Campy's like, hey, he's going to leave after this year. I'm happy for him. I hope he gets $500,000 to go play in the Big Ten or go whatever. I'm happy for him. I'm not mad at this guy. But if you listen to some of this rhetoric, like, that kid's the worst kid. Like, no, he earned that opportunity. That's a transfer. Like, is it really all that bad? Like, some of these kids will showcase their way to bigger money or better, more chances at schools or whatever. What I know isn't going to happen is all the big league schools are going to win this weekend. I know that's not going to happen. Like, there's still going to be Oakland U's and schools like that that are going to do the upsets, and that's what makes it fun.
Dan, that's an awesome way to put it. I'm still thinking about trying to explain basic cable to someone when I'm 60, like 20 years from now, when I'm 64 years old. Like, sometimes you'd be in a hotel and it would be snowy outside, so you would not have anything to do, and you'd watch Shawshank Redemption because it was on TNT, and they'd be like,
with a TV that you had to click it. Yeah. You had to reach over and click it. Like, oh, channel 4, channel 7, channel 12. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. You wrote the article today, in fact, on the tournament itself. And in your opinion, and I've never done well in the bracket, maybe one out of 40 or 50 years, but in your opinion, what makes the tournament what it is and how popular that it is today and has been for so many years?
That's a great That's a great question. These are some big themes, but right, like this is a big event. I think there's it's an American event. It's a purely American thing. Like that makes no sense, right? If you know anyone from Europe, try explaining. Well, we got these schools and there's I think the upsets are what draws people in. I mean, there are college basketball fans. It's kind of the perfectly created tournament for a long time. It's actually the mid-majors have gotten better and more competitive. Like last year we had FAU and San Diego State play each other in the Final Four, but it was these schools and the possibility of the underdog, these schools you never heard of, but all of a sudden there's a 15 next to their number, and there's a school you had heard of, and it's a 2, and you watch that 15 compete. It's just, you don't have to know where St. Peter's is, right? You don't have to know anything about them. You're just excited for these kids, and these guys become these heroes overnight. It's very intoxicating. And then by the end, generally speaking, it's Kansas versus Duke for the title, or, mm-hmm. It's the big guys sorted out. So it's completely unpredictable. Eventually, almost wherever you went to school gets in. That's another appeal. Like, Vermont is in this thing for the third straight year, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense for Vermont to be any good at college basketball. And they probably really aren't, but they're in it, you know? So it's just these schools pop up. And I just think all of that is it. But then at the end of the day, you also get to watch these incredible teams and stars. And you get legendary performances through the years. And you look back, oh, man, like – Steph Curry was once the underdog, right? Like Davidson's a perfect example. And then, why Davidson almost went? Because they had Steph Curry. You look back and you're like, what an upset. Davidson, no. If you had Steph Curry, you're probably going to win a basketball game. But we didn't know that at the time. So just all of it. And it's just kind of that's a song at the end. They just done an incredible job with it.
Yep.
So,
yep. Absolutely.
I watched Greg Oden. Who else was on that team, that Ohio State team? Is Greg Oden, Conley Jr., was an NBA player.
Michael Conley,
Michael Conley Jr., they were best friends. And they grew up in Indianapolis. They went to Ohio State. And after the game, I remember they lost, but they stood there and watched one shining moment to see if they would be on it in the locker room. Because they were like, we waited our whole life to get on this show. Mm. And Oden was about to be the number one pick. And Conley was like a lottery pick. And at that moment, they didn't care. They just wanted to see themselves in one shining moment, right? Like that was part of their life, was like, I can't wait till we get on one shining moment. So the game is over. They've lost their crush, but they want to see the show. Like that's a really powerful thing that I don't think there's any other. At the end of the Super Bowl, no one cares. There's no song montage, right? It's just all of it that's put together.
Even if it's just a glimmer. Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Daquan Cook, and Othello Hunter all played eventually in the NBA for a little bit. Those are four guys on that team. Despite the shocking loss and gut-wrenching loss, and here they are, like kids looking up.
Huddled around a TV in their locker room, remember it.
Yep.
They were like, I want to watch this. And they stopped talking to the media or doing anything, and they all stood there and watched their one shining moment.
Dan, as always, great stuff. Today's news with Clemson, and who knows what might be by the end of the week, and also the start of the tournament tonight. Thank you so much for your time. Whenever we can get it, we appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, with us on 365 Sports.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.